Well, good morning, everyone. I know it is good to see everyone here today. I don't know, I sing last week, and all of a sudden there's this huge gap in the middle. It was that bad, was it? I'm kind of thankful, though, that somehow our video from last week got destroyed with me singing up front and everything. That's good times. I had to laugh about that one. We had someone push the power button on the computer, so thank you, whoever did that. I owe you a coffee. Oh, darn it. It exists. All right, kids, we're going to read you a story. Hey, we're going to be starting Sunday school soon, so that means that we are going to be praying for you guys as you begin school, some of you. That's awesome. And for parents, some of you are like, yes, we get our lives back a little bit here. The kids will be gone. I can have my coffees and such. But yeah, we'll pray for you after the story, so don't run off immediately, please. We're so blessed to have you all here, so we're excited. All right, our story's called A Little Girl and a Poor Frail Lady, and it comes from Luke chapter 8. There was once a little girl who didn't get out of bed one morning or the next. In fact, she didn't get out of bed for a whole month. She was very sick and no one knew how to make her better. Jairus was her daddy and he loved her. One day he was sitting by her bed, holding her hand, wishing there was something he could. I know! He jumped to his feet, put on his coat, kissed his daughter, ran down the steps, past the servants, out of the house, through the gates, along the road, into the town, up the steps, and into the temple. He fought his way through all the people until at last he found who he was looking for. Jesus, he said, falling at Jesus' feet. My daughter, he pleaded, please. But he didn't need to beg, because before he'd even finished speaking, Jesus reached out his hand and helped him up. I'll come at once, Jesus said. Jairus' eyes filled with tears. Jesus was coming. It would be all right. In those days, of course, they didn't have ambulances, so they had to go by foot. Jesus' helpers knew that he would heal the sick girl, but they must hurry. If Jesus didn't get there soon, it would be too late. But everyone was in the way, hustling and bustling, jostling and pressing, pushing and shoving, squishing and squashing. The disciples ran ahead, forcing back the crowd. Suddenly, Jesus stopped. His friends looked back. What is he doing? Who touched me? Jesus asked, because he felt power go out of him. Me, said a frail lady looking down at the ground because she was ashamed. The poor lady had been sick for 12 years, and she had to get well. She knew if she only touched Jesus' coat, she would be healed. So she touched his coat, and instantly, she was well. We don't have time, Jesus' friends said. But Jesus always had time. He reached out his hands and gently lifted her head. He looked into her eyes and smiled. You believed, he said, wiping a tear from her eye, and now you are well. Just then, Jairus' servant rushed up to Jairus. It's too late, he said breathlessly. Your daughter is dead. Jesus turned to Jairus. It's not too late, Jesus said. Trust me. At Jairus' house, everyone was crying, but Jesus said, I'm going to wake her up. Everyone laughed at him because they knew she was dead. Jesus walked into the little girl's bedroom, and there, lying in the corner in the shadows, was this still little figure. Jesus sat on the bed and took her pale hand. Honey, he said, it's time to get up. And he reached down into death and gently brought the little girl back to life. The little girl woke up, rubbed her eyes as if she'd just had a good night's sleep, and leapt out of bed. Jesus threw open the shutters, and sunlight flooded the dark room. Hungry? Jesus asked. She nodded. Jesus called to her family, bring this little girl some breakfast. Jesus helped and healed many people like this. He made blind people see. He made deaf people hear. He made lame people walk. Jesus was making the sad things come untrue. He was mending God's broken world. I'm just going to pray quickly, send y'all. Well, for the kids that want to go down there, it is unsupervised downstairs for them to kind of play and hang out and do colorings. I'm just going to pray quickly, and if you want to go, you can go. Well, with parents' permission, of course. Just one second here. Father, we thank you so much for these little treasures that we have in our church here. And we just want to be a blessing to them. We hope that we encourage them and we teach them how to be like you and how to follow you. And so I pray for them in the upcoming school year, Lord, that they would not falter from your path, but they would be faithful to you. They would follow your teachings. And Jesus, we pray for the parents as well. Some may have relief, some may have anxiety, some may just need a break. And we just pray for energy for them to get through the first kickoff week of school and all the events that fall after that. We just pray that there's energy there to drive and transport the little ones around. Father, we want to pray for our teachers. They're such a blessing to our kids. So whether they're school teachers or Sunday school teachers, we thank you for them. May they have energy to get through the entire year. I know they'll probably have it for the start of the year, but we want it for the entire year for them. And we pray all this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, kids, off you go. Have fun. Do kid things. Be nice to each other, please. All right, this is kind of the time where we do our church prayer thing, where we pray for the stuff within our church. I don't have too much on my end today, but we do want to pray for, obviously, our continued push towards knowing God better within our church. So I think that's on the top of my list for us as a congregation. Anyone have anything else? Absolutely. Boy, oh boy. Entrusting a young man to take photos, that is quite the endeavor in itself. I remember one time going on a missions trip to Mexico. My parents packed the camera, told me to take lots of pictures. When I got back, the camera was in the exact same spot it was packed when we left. So nothing was taken. They were not happy with me. We will pray for Austin and for his thumb, and obviously for the strain that he may go through over watching everybody else do fun stuff while he's got a cast. Anyone else have anything? Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. We will pray for Justin. He's such a kind young man. I like it when he comes here. All right. Well, let's take these things to our Heavenly Father and just, just thank Him for all that He does, but then also uplift people who in our family need prayer for stuff. Lord Jesus, today we come to You. And we thank You. We thank You for all that You do for us, for the love that You continue to give us, and just the bountiful generosity that is part of who You are. We thank You for this church that we can gather here, and I pray that as we approach September and the start of ministry season, that Your hand would be upon us, that You would guide us, and we would greet every person that comes in here as a friend. May You strengthen us as a church. May we unite together, and may we make it comfortable for people to be here and feel loved, we pray. And I pray that we continue to grow closer and closer to You, Father. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit, we pray. And so as we pray for the great generosity that You show on us, Father, we also pray that You would help us in certain areas. And so we uplift Austin right now as he's out in Manitoba with a quite severely injured thumb. And we just pray, Lord, that Your healing touch would come upon his thumb. Repair those ligaments and tendons that were torn. And we pray for the surgery, that it was a complete success and there will be no infection that follows it. Thank You so much, Father, for Austin. We pray that as he recuperates, that he sees all his friends and such around him having a good time and doing activities that he fully probably will want to partake in, Lord, that he will not be discouraged or disheartened, but instead know that he served You faithfully and just a tragic incident occurred in his faithful service. Fill him with Your Holy Spirit, we pray. Encourage him at this time. And be with Tracy as well as she is separated from this incident and just kind of not in control. And it's always tough when we're not in control. We feel just so lost and wandering. But, Father, we know that You have things in control. And so we just pray that You'd bring comfort to Tracy at this time and a peace as well. And, Father, we want to uplift our friend Justin. As Justin has been waiting patiently for a wisdom teeth surgery, and it couldn't happen due to the pandemic, and now it's being pushed for other reasons. It's quite frustrating. So we just pray at this time, Lord, that Your will would be done, and that surgery would take place very shortly for Justin, and that it will be a complete success. I know there's probably anxieties attached with his surgery, as there always is with stuff like that. So we just pray, Lord, for Your hand to be upon him. May Your hand be with the family as well. And fill him with Your Holy Spirit, we pray. We thank You for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So today, I kind of decided we're going to deviate a little bit from Genesis. Maybe some of us could use just a little break from. I don't want to overwhelm us with stories from Genesis. They can get a little much at times. But the one thing I love about our walk through Genesis is just we see this humanity out of our patriarchs, out of the people that we kind of looked up to in Sunday school. We see how broken they are and how we're very similar to them as well. They messed up and we can mess up, right? Well, they're revered, yes, but they're also just as broken as we are, even though we look up to them and such. So today I wanted to pause in Philippians 4:19 because I did bring this up during our last sermon there. I know it's not recorded. Well, it is on the website, I guess, but it is all good. And so Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." A quick little passage there. But I do want to just emphasize, we're going to talk a bit about the goodness of our Lord today. Because like I say, sometimes when we're talking about those sinful people and some of the stumbles that they have, we just tend to get caught up in this fact that, like, we're just the worst. But I don't want us to always feel that way, because God loves us. And far too often, especially with stuff coming up, with school starting and maybe other things where we just had a busy summer or stuff happened throughout the summer, we find ourselves in a state of simply going through the motions, or even worse than that, we find ourselves spiritually and mentally exhausted to the point where we get ourselves depressed. Now, have you ever found yourself in this mindset where you're complacent and where you're at, where you're feeling like you're just doing redundant actions, or even maybe you're living despair at the moment? What do you do when you find yourself in this situation? Do you seek aid when you're caught in these traps? Do you power through on your own terms? Do you pretend as though everything is fine? Or do you give in and become a brooding-filled person with a lot of misery in your life? On the spiritual side, I would say that people can actually turn their spiritual depression around. The key to this is by turning to the promises of God, to feed on them and to understand exactly what they mean. If you find yourself spiritually stuck in a devastating web of depression, I want you to know that within God's word, there will be promise that helps you overcome the spiritual darkness in your life. I know for a lot of young people, I like to point to the idea and the promise of God's grace and how abundant it is. That's always a good one to work through. And that's just one of the promises that I easily point to in order to understand God's working, even in my own life. Helps me know that on the spiritual level that there is no need, that there is no anxiety, there's no worry, and there's no dismay, for which God has not made multiple promises in order to encourage us and uplift us. The other day, I came across this story which I hope illustrates what I mean. And it's a story about an elderly French woman. She began telling the story to a crowd, and it was about a time where she was much younger. But her story is one that shows how God's promises can change lives. As a young girl in France, she began a practice that her parents had taught her. It's quite a unique one. It was to make a little box of Bible verses. These verses were quite specific, though, as she would fill this box with verses that contains God's promises from Scripture. She would write these verses on a small piece of paper, approximately the size of those mini post-it notes. And then she would roll them up, these little pieces of paper, all with God's promises on them, and they would look like a mini scroll. She would do this for about 40 to 50 promises, and then would take those rolled up promises and place them into a tiny open box. She called this her promise box. And at first, as a young girl, she would pull this box out every morning, and she would read a promise from God that had been written on it every morning. But of course, time would pass by, excuses would come, and life would become busy. And in her case, it would become quite dangerous. But she was no longer reading these promises from her box. As World War II would break out, her country, France, was ravaged by war. Anxieties, fears, and worries, they were through the roof. She was extremely discouraged one day. And for some reason, in her depression, she had remembered her box. That tiny little box of promise, it had been long forgotten, but this day, she remembered. So in her distraught state, she went over to her dresser and opened the drawer as she carefully pulled out that forgotten box. And she prayed, "Lord, you know how depressed I am. You know that I need a word of encouragement. Isn't there a promise here somewhere, just a single promise that can help me?" She finished praying, and she began to move to her window. As the window was kind of giving the only light that was appropriate for her to read in that moment. And as she went, she tripped on the rug. And in that instance, all the promises in the box spilled out onto the floor. It was in this moment that she had a great realization, and she snapped out of her depression and immediately turned towards sheer joy. And she prayed this, "Lord, how foolish I've been to ask for one promise when there are so many glorious promises in your word." How often do we end up like her, forgetting about the many glorious promises? And sometimes we're just looking for one, but there's an abundant amount of them. As God gives us promises, and they're in great abundance. So I wonder, do we remember them as often as we should? Do we take them to heart as we're called to do? I want us to just think of a few promises that are given to us throughout Scripture. And they're probably, maybe you know about them already. God promises us everlasting salvation. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." It's a simple promise, but it's a promise that impacts every person on this earth. And it shows that his grace is in great abundance as humanity is in desperate need of God and his salvation. And then in Romans 8:28, God promises, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." John 10:9 says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." John 10:27-28, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." These are such significant promises of grace that God gives us. And all that is required is belief in Jesus Christ, to love him. And God also promises things which concerns our prayers. Philippians 4:6-7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Imagine approaching our prayer life like that. It's tough to pray and not to be anxious about things. But God wants us to come to him in prayer petition with a heart that is thankful. On Monday nights, and even up front here on Sundays, I always try to start our prayer time with a word of thankfulness and having thankful hearts. There's something to it. As even in being thankful, our anxieties are, in a sense, automatically cast aside. And the Sovereign One hears our cry when we do this. In 1 John 5:14-15, we read this. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." These are all fantastic promises, and I've only listed a few. But think about how much of a game changer they are for our spiritual journey. Some of us think, like, I know when you misinterpret Scripture, you're thinking this is a magic lamp. You rub it, and you're like, "God said he's going to give me everything I need. Yes, I get a new Lamborghini," or something like that. That's not what it's aimed for here. It's about your spiritual journey. It's about correcting our spiritual lives, our emotional lives. And then the big promise that we're focusing on today is the one that I just read to start things off in Philippians 4:19. "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Jesus Christ." God meets all of our needs. And so when you think about that, it's like you got to start asking yourself, do I need salvation? Because if I do, God will supply you with salvation. and ask yourself this, do I need strength to get through the day or through life's trials? Boy, I ask myself that a lot throughout this summer when the kids are around and fighting with each other. God will supply strength that we need. Are you lonely? Because God can meet you. He can comfort you in your loneliness. If you're discouraged, God can lift you up. No need is left out, as we are told in our verse that God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Spiritually, God will provide all that we need. Are we turning to him when we're feeling that way? When we're feeling down? When we're feeling depressed spiritually? Are we looking towards God and looking towards his promises? Let's look a little deeper at our promise today. I want us to look at the subject of our verse, and it should not really surprise us. It's the Sunday school answer. Our subject is, my God, as Paul writes. Who is the one that Paul understood to be the supplier of the needs of the church of Philippi? It was not any God, as Paul did not say a God or the God in whom you happen to believe. That's not what Paul said at all. Paul's not referring to the local temple gods, the ones of the Greeks, the Egyptians, the Assyrians, or even the Romans. Paul says, my God. So Paul's being very specific and very personal in his statement to the people of Philippi. Paul's God is Yahweh, the God of Israel, who revealed himself personally to humanity, personally in Jesus Christ. God is a great God. He is gracious and effective in all that he does. And the God of Philippians 4:19, he's the God who called Abraham out of Mesopotamia. God called Abraham out of idol worship and called him into a different lifestyle. He sent Abraham on his way to a new land with a promise. It was a promise that Abraham would be blessed by God. And on top of that promise, Abraham and his descendants would be numerous and would bless the nations around them. Hopefully we know that by now. And the God of Philippians 4:19, he's the same God that led the people out of Israel, the people of Israel out of Egypt. God is the one that set them free. And in doing so, God used a murderer, one that was terrible at public speaking. He worked through Moses and made him a great leader. And God would free the Israelites from the grasp of Pharaoh. God would then part the Red Sea as the Israelites marched through, and he would crash down the sea upon the pursuing Egyptians. God would persevere the Israelites in the desert for 40 years and would enable them to march into a land and conquer. Israel would take hold of Canaan. They would snatch the promised land as God enabled them to. Paul writes of the God of King David, of Elijah, and Jeremiah. He writes of the God of all prophets. He is the God that is the Father of Jesus Christ, the one who died for our salvation, the one who's victorious over death. God is the one that stands behind all of his promises. Paul speaks of my God in an absolute knowledge that God is the one who will support his people, who will support us, and will never let any one of us down who believes in him. So I ask you today, is Yahweh your God? Is Jesus the subject of your life? Because my prayer for you today is that he is your God, and that you will fully trust and believe in him. To have faith in Jesus and allow his promises to be central in your life. Look to his promises when you're feeling down or depressed. Remember them. Know that God is faithful in answering them all. Because as believers, we should know. I say we should because we don't always know, but we should know that God is strong in our time of need and that God is entirely and consistently faithful. He doesn't let us down even though we think he does. Yes, God is the major player in our verse. He's the major emphasis. And what follows is also something we would expect, and that is of human needs. Human needs. What are our needs? Have you really considered that? We often get the concept of need and want mixed up, where we place like a want as a need when that's not really a need, it's just a want. That seemed quite confusing, but it's not when you think about it. So I'm going to say, but our one great need we have is this thing called forgiveness. And thankfully, that's something that God provides in abundance to us, as God's grace is beyond our comprehension. It really is. We wronged him right from the get-go with Adam and Eve. And God came in the flesh, and he took the punishment for our sins, and he forgave us for all the wrongs that we continue to do to him. Amazing grace, amazing forgiveness. God offers forgiveness of our sins, all of them, past, present, and future sins, as our forgiveness is found in the shed blood of Christ Jesus as he hung on that cursed cross for us. And it's the death of Jesus that makes forgiveness possible. And his forgiveness is received by simply believing in him. We receive our forgiveness by acknowledging Jesus, acknowledging our sin before God, and accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:8-9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's pretty neat. Forgiveness, though. How often in thinking of forgiveness do we immediately turn to the notion of what a promise of forgiveness means to us? As far too often, it means that the promise of forgiveness is made so we can do wrong. In other words, we treat it as an invitation to sin, where we say something like, if we know God will forgive, which he will, right, then why can't we do as we want beforehand? Fair question. And I think of something that came across my desk the other day, an article that talked about a Christian family that raised children in Philadelphia. Says this, because they were in the midst of the city, the boys were often tempted to join one of the gangs that roamed through the neighborhood and destroyed property. The parents might have said, look here, Carl or Robin, if you ever get mixed up in one of those gangs and get hauled in by the police, don't come running to me for help. Just remember that I warned you about it beforehand. If they had done that, the boys would likely have taken up bad company in self-defense. Instead, the father said, I like this, I know about the temptations that you will be facing in the city, but I want you to know this. If you ever get in trouble with the gang, never keep it to yourself. Come back here. This is your home. You belong with me and your mother, and we'll face everything that happens together. Never doubt that we love you and we'll forgive you. Wow. And in that home, those boys ended up growing to be God-honoring men who strive to be holy and honest as they dealt with sin with one another, and they made it clear, they confessed it to one another. They journeyed together. What a powerful message to families, to myself even, as I look at my kids and I'm like, I don't know how to parent. There's no manual. And it's like the love that God shows, the grace that he shows. It's our manual in how we should parent. As God treats us in that same way, when you get caught up in temptation, bring it to him. He'll walk you through it. And of course, forgiveness isn't our only need. We're a people who need, and I mean desperately need, fellowship with God. As without him, we're spiritually hungry, we're empty, and we're miserable. As St. Augustine said, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. This is what I find to be beautiful about this. As God longs to be known by us, he longs to fill our hearts with his Holy Spirit. He longs to commune personally and to meet us in our deep, deep longings. And God is able to do this and so much more, as God is a God of abundance and he does it according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God longs to be a part of our world. He longs to have a relationship with us. Question is, do we reciprocate? And of course, another need that we have is this need for protection. And God gives us protection from our enemies. God provides us with this protection in abundance. And as I say this, I think of King David, the man who had an endless supply of enemies. They even came from his own family and his own house. His son wanted to kill him. In other nations, they hated King David as they desired to have him killed. And David, at the end of his life, reflects on those enemies, reflects on his past. And he looked back in a thankful manner as over the years, God had delivered him from the most precarious of situations. I can't imagine being like, hey, thank you, Lord, for having people wanting to kill me or something like that. No, but David was totally amazed at God's protection all throughout his life. 2 Samuel 22, verse 2 to 3. He said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent people, you save me. Now, for most of us, we've not written many poems or songs about people wanting to be violent, to wound us, or needing that type of protection from God, from violent people. But God truly doesn't want harm to come to us, especially on the spiritual kind. God wants to protect us. And if we're not pursuing Him, it's hard for Him to do that because we're running away from Him. And one thing that we may not be super happy about, and yes, we do need it, it is discipline. We need discipline or moments of teaching or testing, and God provides that at times. Not every tragedy we face is a test or a trial. They happen, though. They happen in our lives. So as we read Philippians 4:19, we can understand that discipline can be a fulfilled promise from God. Harry Ironside, he was a Canadian-American Bible teacher. He was a preacher, a theologian, and a pastor. An author who pastored Moody Church in Chicago from 1929 to 1948. On one occasion, he had acted on faith, as he often did, to preach for 2 weeks in Fresno, California. But the time came, surprisingly to him, when he was entirely out of money and he had no funds with which to eat. He was even forced to check out of his hotel room and leave his suitcase at a drugstore to be picked up later. There's some complaining and bitterness from him. Oh, excuse me. I'm having like a nose issue here this morning. I apologize. Anyways, there's some complaining and bitterness from him. When the thought of Philippians 4:19 crossed his mind, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, his spirit rebelled. Why then doesn't he do it? Isn't that a common question that we ask? But he questioned that in that moment. It seemed that God had promised, but he was no longer keeping his word. That night, as he settled down under a tree on the lawn of the courthouse in Fresno, God spoke to Ironside concerning things about which he had grown careless. In his prayer and meditation, he experienced a spiritual awakening. From that time on, work went better. Old friends appeared, first to invite him to lunch and later to provide accommodation. The church to which he was ministering took a collection to help him out on his return journey. At the end, he went to the post office and found a letter from his father. Much to his surprise, he opened it, and there staring him in the face was a postscript that said, God spoke to me through Philippians 4:19 today. This is an email. This was sent to him. He has promised to supply all our need. Someday he may say that I need a starving. If he does, he will supply that. Ironside said, oh, how real it all seemed then. I saw that God had put me through the test in order to bring me closer to himself and to bring me face to face with things I had been neglecting. So sometimes we can be tested. Sometimes we will face trials and troubles. As God's just calling to us, trying to bring us back to Him. As God has promised to fill the need of us in Jesus Christ out of infinite wealth and resources. He will expand us as time goes on, and we shall come to hold more of Him, His Holy Spirit. We shall become more and more like Jesus, a process that we refer to as sanctification. It's impossible for us to exhaust that which is infinite. God is infinite. His resources are infinite. Do we understand that? Do we know that in our heart? Because we cannot possibly consume the riches that God offers completely. We need to remember that in this life and the life to come, that God will supply all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And still, there will be inexhaustible resources beyond that. God's love, God's grace, God's promises are all beyond measure. Are you remembering to look to God's promises? I pray that the Holy Spirit prompts you to look towards them. Join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. We thank you that you would supply the needs that we have. Spiritually, you don't leave us out there high and dry, but you are there to walk alongside us, journey with us, and make sure that our needs are met. So today I pray that you challenge us. I pray that you remind us to look towards your promises and continually look there every day and all day. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Changes not thy kind.
I believe I finished off with this verse not too long ago, but I feel they're fitting for today. In Philippians 4, verses 4 and on, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace and the God of peace will be with you. God's got a lot of promises. We need to look at them. I hope we do that as a church. Have a great week.